You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and I found out coming into the college campus today at Richland College that the campus is going to be closed both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because of Easter. So if you're a student or faculty and are not aware of it, please be aware of it, because the entire facility, college buildings, will be shut down and locked, including the internet access. So no point coming to campus Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And that somewhat surprised me, because I frankly forgot about it. That's the typical of what they do on the Easter holiday. And it's kind of strange, because when I was going to college, your spring break coincided with the Easter Sunday, but we had our spring break and came back, you know, this Monday, and I was thinking, well, the college would be open, and now I find out Friday and Saturday and Sunday it won't. So that somewhat changed my plans, because I had anticipated doing a show tomorrow, and I won't be doing that. And that was going to be on a wrap-up of what happened in Brussels. There has been a couple of new information, namely that they're now looking for two suspects, if you will, one from the train station and one from the airport. So that's the only thing that's really new. The death count, and there's some debate as to what the numbers are, because you'll hear the number 31 dead or 34 dead. I believe the difference is quite simply 31 are the victims of the bombers and three were the bombers. You had two brothers that both died. One did the bombing at the rail station, the subway station, and one did the bombing at the airport, and he was assisted by another bomber. And two bombs were exploded at the airport. So we have three bombers, suicide bombers, that have died. Government information is saying one of the bombers was actually the bomb maker, although that is being challenged by experts from other countries, for the simple reason it's very, very unusual for the person that makes the bomb to actually become a suicide bomber, for the simple reason it takes considerable skill to make these bombs, because you're dealing with explosives. You got to know what you're doing, and if you don't know what you're doing, you can blow yourself up, and that on occasion happens. So you want an experienced bomb maker, and if you have multiple attacks planned, you don't blow yourself up. So there's been some pushback, if you will, in terms of challenging what the government is saying. Now, there were two bombers at the airport that blew themselves up. The only question is, was one of them actually the bomb maker or not? We'll have more information in the coming days, weeks, or months. And that's why I always say on stories like this, you're absolutely going to get some wrong information early on. And I think the death count will actually go up, because there's several people that are missing. Some were identified as injured, now are not identified as injured. And that, again, is just misinformation. So we'll learn more in the coming days, and I'll try to keep you posted. The number of injured has gone from initially over 200, then 230. Now it's at 270 and climbing. And the question is, of those 270, how many are in real serious critical condition? Because you could have other people dying. So I think the death count will go up for the simple reason some with serious injuries will not make it. And plus the fact you'll have people that were not identified. Because if you're anywhere near where these explosives go off, in essence, you're vaporized. They're going to find small pieces of a body. They're not going to find a body per se. They're going to find very small pieces of you if you're right near where the explosion is. And that's why you don't find many of the body parts of the suicide bombers. Now, you'll find some DNA evidence, but that's about it. So stay tuned. I'll update you on this. And I went over this for a reason. And I went back. I've given stories on the past, stories I've covered in shows, the Islamic State and what they're about. What's happening? What's going on here? Well, a couple of things you have to understand. What are the goals of the Islamic State? And you got to understand they've had several names in the past. Initially, they were the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. But they had a couple of names. Their latest name, as of June of 2014, was the Islamic State. Now, why do they call themselves the Islamic State? Initially, in their previous lives, if you will, they were not successful. As a matter of fact, the United States military, for all practical purposes, defeated them in Iraq when our military was there. But after we withdrew, Al-Qaeda in Iraq moved into Syria, rearmed, retrained, recruited people, and now they're still in Syria in Raqqa, and they're challenging the Syrian regime of Assad, but they're also challenging the Shiite regime in Baghdad. Remember, the Islamic State are Sunnis, and approximately 9 out of 10 believers in Islam are Sunni. The majority are Sunni, but Iraq, the majority are Shia, as is the Islamic Republic of Iran. The majority there is Shia. So the Shia support the Shia in Iraq. They also support the terrorist group Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon that are fighting on the side of Assad. So you have a religious civil war going on in the Middle East between the Sunnis and the Shia, and the Islamic State is heavily involved. Now, I'll throw in another complication. At one time, and you can see it by the name change, Al-Qaeda in Iraq was affiliated with the Iraq International Group, but they had a split up. See, in Syria today, fighting the Assyria regime is Al-Qaeda al-Nusra. And they've had a split with the Islamic State. So you have conflicts between even the Sunnis in Syria and Iraq, as well as a religious civil war going on both in Syria and Iraq between the Sunnis and the Iraqis. And a lot of the leadership, military expertise they have comes from former Iraqi military soldiers that were in the regime when Saddam Hussein ran it and were Sunnis. And the United States made a mistake. It disbanded the Iraqi army that put all these people, in essence, unemployed. And a lot of them that were part of the previous regime have now are part of the Islamic State. I need to give you this background because I'm leading up to something, namely, what should we do about it? You need to understand that today the Islamic State is probably, the estimates range, but about 30,000, maybe as high as 50,000 people are fighters. Now, that number obviously fluctuates because they're dying. We're killing them. But they're still a functioning outfit, if you will, and they control anywhere from 2.5 million to 5 million people, largely in northwestern Iraq and Syria, eastern Syria, western Iraq. And they control several. Mosul is the big city in Iraq that they control, and they control cities in Syria as well. But as a result of largely the United States bombing them, together with Kurdish forces, infantry, there's been attrition. That's a nice way to say we've killed thousands of them, as well as wounded. But until we have forces that have mortars, rocket-propelled grenades, tanks, in essence, heavy armor, that are going to go in to these cities that they control and root them out. At best, all we're doing today are containing them where they are. They're not a direct threat to the United States. And what they're trying to do is first set up a caliphate, which they have done. And that's one reason a lot of people are attracted to them. But the other thing is they believe in an apocalypse, an end time. The world is going to end, but before it ends, that their forces will fight the Christian crusaders, both in Rome and in a town in northern, I believe it's in northern Syria, not Iraq, but the name of the town's not important. They actually believe that. And what they're trying to do, and this is key, they're trying to provoke the crusaders, and we're the crusaders, the Christians, to a religious war. To fight it out. And they actually think they're going to lose it. But ultimately, they're going to be victorious. So a lot of those videos, I would say all of them, that in the past you have seen on YouTube and other places, showing the brutality of the Islamic State, that was designed to, there are really two purposes. One, to recruit people from abroad and other, you know, countries immediately in the vicinity, but also abroad, to come to Syria and Iraq and join their forces. And they have a lot of people, several thousand, largely from Europe, some from the United States or Australia, that have been radicalized and have come to join the Islamic State. However, many of them have been killed. So I think what you're seeing right now and have seen for the last several months is a change in their strategy, the Islamic State strategy. And they're recommending that if you can come, come, but really you're better off forming your own cells and engaging in terrorist attacks wherever you're at, whether it's the United States, Brussels, Belgium, France, Paris, France, or in various cities across the world. And that's what's happened. They've had attacks on the Ivory Coast. There's been more than a dozen attacks. They're in right now. What they're trying to do is, again, they're still trying to provoke a war. They want a rematch. Ideally, what they would like is for the United States and Europe to send a large army so that the Islamic State can fight the large army. What's clear is just trying to win the war by largely air attacks is not going to work. Talk to anyone, military expert, and they'll tell you that. First, we're not doing enough sorties or missions to do that. You need intelligence as to where they are. Or you could level the city, but kill a lot of innocent people in the process. Remember, we're talking maybe 30 to 50,000 and another 50,000 that are associated with them. But in the areas that they control, they're 2.5 to 5 million people. And the size of that area goes up and down, depending on the success or failure of Iraqis and the Syrian government to attack various positions. One of the problems is this. As long as the United States remains heavily involved in the area, namely with the bombing, neither Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and those are the two principal countries that have the most interest to contain the Islamic State, as well as Jordan and Israel. But the Muslims, the Arab Muslims, are not going to destroy the Islamic State until it becomes their problem. Remember, it's happening in their neighborhood. And if the United States or Russia wants to drop bombs or fire missiles or fire mortars into the Islamic State positions, then do you really think the Turkish army and the Air Force and the Saudi Air Force and army are going to get involved in this? I don't think so. I bring it up because the question is, what's the strategy of both the United States and what is the strategy of the Islamic State? We need to fight our own war with them in our own way. And I think what you've seen is a subtle but important change where they're now going on the offensive using local radicalized Islamic jihadis in France, in Germany, in Brussels, Great Britain, United Kingdom, and in the future in the United States. And some of them will have had fighters that were in the Middle East that come back. And that's the danger of open borders, and that's the danger when you have floods, an invasion, if you will, instigated by the European Union inviting refugees to come into their countries. And what does the Islamic State do amongst those refugees is what? Are terrorists, trained bombers that have been in military engagements, call it insurgency actions or guerrilla warfare, that have military experience. And that's what you've seen in Paris and in Brussels this Tuesday. So they've shifted the emphasis. Because why? The United States has refused and continues to refuse sending forces back into the area. It's been estimated it'd take 30 to 50,000 at minimum U.S. Marines and Army to root out and destroy the Islamic State together with air power. And that's going to take several years. It's not going to happen overnight. These people are dug in, and we know that because the Kurds, for example, have recaptured cities and towns where the Islamic State has been in, and what they found buried under homes are a network of tunnels. And I have, before I forget, those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is to go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And when you go there, under my picture, you'll have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. This is show 645. And if you click on that, you can hear today's show. Now, right now, it is going over the internet. We're an internet or web radio station. But more than 99% of my listeners listen via podcast. At their convenience, they can either download it or stream the show. I'm hoping to have the show posted by 10 o'clock tonight, or more likely 10:45. Depends how long the show is, because my rule of thumb is for every hour show, I spend about 2 hours in post-production, two and a half hours, trying to get it, shorten it by getting rid of the pauses, the long pauses. Not that they're very long, but I'm trying to get it as compact as possible. I usually can reduce it by about 30%. So that takes time. So I'm shooting to try to get this posted tonight because I won't have access to the campus on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So if I can't get it done, it probably is going to be Monday at the earliest before you actually can hear the show. But I'll make a valiant effort, and I'm shooting for an hour show after the editing, which means I got about another hour to go because I'll reduce it. But anyway, click on the show links for any show you want. Most of the people that listen to my show, the way they first encounter the show, they Google it, a topic, and my radio show pops up, and they listen to the podcast. What I'm trying to emphasize is that's important. That's very important. I need more listeners. But I also have a lot of additional information that complements the show, some of the information that I've looked at. And I always find new information and a lot of videos, a lot of articles. Now, in preparing this show, and I didn't have time to really listen to his entire presentation, I ran across a book that came out a couple of months ago called The ISIS Apocalypse, The History, Strategy, and Doomsday Vision of the Islamic State. Now, I haven't read the book. Like I said, I ran across a YouTube video, actually several, and I strongly recommend you, if you have time, listen at least to one of his presentations to a number of groups. I also ran across, and this is about 2 months ago, so it's fairly recent, that he was on the show Foxhole. Rosen, I believe it's James Rosen, is the interviewer, and he's being interviewed and asked some very direct pointed questions. I think it's well worth the time because he's trying to explain to you what motivates these people. What's their goal? What are they trying to accomplish? They are religious fanatics, folks. They are religious. They're radical Islamic jihadists. This is very much a religious-based group. They are very much want to take us back to the 600s when Muhammad was on the earth. And that is You need to understand this. They want war. They are ruthless, violent, and it's very much a religious war where if you don't share their Sunni version, and there's several, although roughly 90%, 89, 90% of Muslims are Sunnis. They're different sects of Sunnis. A lot of this originates out of Saudi Arabia with the Wahhabis. Now, they don't like to call Wahhabis. They're Salafists. But here's the thing you got to keep in mind. They're different types of Salafists. Some are peaceful. Some are violent like this group is. Their goal is world domination under a caliphate and really to defeat not only the Shias in Iraq and Iran, but also the Christians. So if you're unfortunately a Christian or someone of another faith and they capture you, you're most likely going to be either killed on the spot or tortured. They show no mercy. They take no prisoners. That's what we're up against. They're a religious fanatic group, and it is based in Islam and the Quran, despite what our president keeps saying that they're not. I'm sorry, but we've had religious fanatics in almost every religion, including Islam, and today that's what we face with the Islamic State. Now, jihad means struggle, and there are different types of struggles. They mean it as a violent or military struggle. They consider themselves holy warriors, and that's why I call them, and other people call them that really understand this. They're radical. They're very much radical. They're Islamic to the core. And they're jihadists. They're warriors that want war. They live and die for war. They want to die in a religious war. And this Tuesday, several of them committed suicide and took the lives of at least 31 innocent Europeans. And I hope not any Americans, but there's several Americans that are missing. So the death count will most likely go up as we get additional information. And they're recruiting people, and they're very successful at recruiting people. And they do it by, for example, many, many videos on YouTube. So you need to understand, at least get the fundamentals right about the Islamic State. That's why I'm highlighting or shouting out the fact that you can either read the gentleman's book. I'm going to try to get a hold of it this weekend. There are other authors. There's a lot of books written on this. And I, on past shows, have highlighted other authors. Now, this is something new that I've come across, and the reason I'm emphasizing it, he's on point. In other words, it's very timely. You need to get a sense of who your enemy is, who we're fighting, why are we fighting them? These people want to die. They want to provoke a war, and they need to be stopped. The question is, who should stop them, and how should we? They be stopped. As far as I'm concerned, it's the responsibility of the Sunnis to stop this radical group. And what I mean by that is the Army of Saudi Arabia, the Army and Air Force of Saudi Arabia, the Army and Air Force of Turkey, as well as Jordan, needs to destroy this group. And as long as we maintain a military presence, which we are doing, that's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The American people, why we are definitely concerned about these terrorist attacks, are looking for a leader that first will say the words radical Islamic jihadist. He won't say those three words in a sentence together. I think he's delusional. I think they know it. They don't want to admit it and to scare the American people. The American people know what's going on. They might not know the details, but they got the big picture. They know where this terrorism is being instigated from. The question is, what's the best way to destroy, and I mean destroy, this group? Every single last one of them. Not put them in prison, I mean kill them, annihilate them. That's what needs to be done, and who should do it? As far as I'm concerned, it should be Arabs, and it should be Sunnis, and their immediate neighbors. And it requires the United States leadership of the president as commander-in-chief, together with the Secretary of State, to make that happen. Oh, we can provide support in terms of equipment and intelligence, and the Saudis certainly have the money to buy that equipment, but it's their fight, and they need to fight it. You see, the reason why both Turkey and Saudi Arabia are not going to do anything, because they every single day they see the United States as well as members of this 60-nation alliance, including them. But it's mainly the United States that's doing the bombing, using primarily F-16s. There's some NATO forces involved. These radicals, these jihadists, need to be defeated. And Saudi Arabia and Turkey need to defeat them. We also should support the Kurds, but that's one of the reasons Turkey doesn't want to get involved, because they don't want a separate Kurdish nation. And I don't want to get too much detail, because I could spend another 30 minutes on Kurds and Kurdistan. But that's another problem. If there's any group that could really fight the Islamic State, it is the Kurds, but they need more than rifles and pistols and uniforms. They don't have an air force, obviously. They don't really have much, if anything, in terms of artillery. But they need mortars. They need machine guns. They need rocket-propelled grenades. And you see, here's the problem. The Iraqi government is Shia. The Sunnis hate the Shia. The Kurds are a separate ethnic group. They're not Arab. They are Sunni, but they're not Arab. And the other thing you need to understand, the Iranians are Persian. They're not Arab either. The Iranians are Persians and they're Shia. The Kurds are Sunni, but they're not Arab. They're Kurds. And the Islamic State are Sunni Arabs. In other words, we have an ethnic war going on, a tribal war going on, and a religious war going on, and it's been going on for centuries, as well as tribal and family wars. And that's why the American people don't want any part of this, other than we want this group destroyed. And what's key is you need a strategy, a plan, and you need the weapons, as well as the armies, to destroy this group. And people are going to die on both sides. We need to kill right now at least 50,000 of them. And that's what they want. They want a war. But it's not going to be U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, your sons and daughters doing it. The Arabs are going to have to clean up their own neighborhood. They're going to have to clean up their own mess. And I'm not getting the history, but I could have. Who provided the early finances for the Islamic State? Well, I'll tell you who. Citizens of Saudi Arabia, as well as Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, Qatar. Forget about that history. And the Saudi royal family knows that the Islamic State wants to destroy them, because they consider the royal family as corrupt. If they could, they'd overthrow the royal family. What I'm saying is we need a national discussion as how we need to go about totally destroying this group. And we're not going to make any progress with this president. This president wants to watch baseball with the Castros and go dancing the tango in Argentina, because his daughters are on spring break, and we sent two, I think they're 757s, Air Force One plus another one for his wife and children to have a nice tour of Argentina and some other countries in South America. We're at war. We're at war with the Islamic State. We're also at war with the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's Iran, folks. But this president, and I'm going to use this joke relating it to the tango, this president doesn't know how to lead, whether it's on the dance floor or in wars. Leadership would have required by now an effort by Saudi Arabia, more than an effort, a military campaign led by Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Jordan, with some assistance from the United States, primarily intelligence and equipment, spare parts, replacement, where armies of Turkey and Saudi Arabia go into Syria and destroy the Islamic State. And while they're at it, they might as well destroy Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra. Why don't they do that? Who's trying to overthrow the Syrian regime that President Barack Obama also would like to overthrow? The Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra. It's a rather tangled web we weave in the Middle East. We need to declare war, but not... And I mean declare war, not the way President Obama tried it. It looks like there's so many weasel words in this authorization for force to go after the Islamic State. It's not truly a declaration of war. But who should do the fighting? Sunnis, Arabs, as well as the Turks. Actually, you got three ethnic groups, the Turks, the Kurds, the Sunnis. Excuse me, let me back up. You have the Turks, the Kurds, and the Arabs. Those are the ethnic groups. What do they have in common? They're all Sunnis. This is a Sunni on Sunni war, and they should take the initiative. They should take the casualties. They should take the many hundreds, if not thousands, that are going to be wounded. We need to stabilize the Middle East. Otherwise, this terrorism that's now spreading across Europe and ultimately is going to come, it's already come to the United States, but it's really worldwide, and that's what's new here. I mean, I have some videos that give you, and I'm scrolling down, where they have attacked. The Ivory Coast, they've killed people on the beaches. There are also, obviously, France, Brussels, Syria, Iraq. And I agree with the president. Who are the people that are the victims? Muslims. Both Sunni and Shia are the primary victims. They also have killed, crucified Christians. I don't think there are many Jews that they found because most of them left. So they are, and recently, after efforts by many, many groups, finally the United States supported, or at least agreed with the fact that they are committing genocide in Syria and Iraq. That was long overdue. Of the Yazidis as well as the Christians there and other religious minorities. It's time for action, but here's the problem. We're not going to get any real action or leadership leading to action until we have a new president. This president is slow walking, in other words, stalling for time. He doesn't want to get the United States directly involved. Well, neither do I. But he is president of the United States. He is commander in chief. He needs to use the power of his office to influence Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and other nations. To some extent he has, but the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is we have a president that's no longer respected by many of the world leaders, including those in the Middle East. He's an empty suit. Remember when he was running, one of the criticisms was when he was in the state legislature in Illinois, he would vote present. That's what we have here. He's an appeaser. He doesn't want to do anything. Now, sometimes not doing anything is a smart thing to do. I understand that. But the Islamic State could have been stopped several years ago. We didn't take it seriously. And to some extent, that surprised the United States and people following this. But suddenly, out of nowhere, in the last 2 years, and actually it's not actually been 2 years, it'll be 2 years in June, the Islamic State roared into Iraq, captured tons of military equipment. The so-called Iraqi army, primarily Shiites, ran to Baghdad, took off their uniforms and ran. And as a result, what happened? The Islamic State captured all this equipment. You've seen the videos where they're parading around in the equipment with their black flags flying, tanks, Humvees, you name it. Most of what they have are machine guns mounted on Toyota trucks. You see, they don't, except for the equipment they've captured and to the extent they know how to use it. And remember, many of the former Iraqi army that were Sunnis under Saddam Hussein are now part of the Islamic State leadership. And they're teaching or recruiting and training people. And their main target are the Shiites. In other words, the Iraqis that form the majority in Iraq, as well as Iranians, the Persians, because the main ally of Iraq today is, to some extent, it's still the United States, but it's primarily Iran or the Islamic Republic of Iran, that's Shia. That's why I say we're dealing with a religious civil war, but also an ethnic civil war. And what I don't want is the intervention of the United States back into this clash. It's going to take years to do this. It's going to take a concerted effort by several nations, and they have to be committed, and that's the key word, they have to be committed to use their own armed forces to destroy the Islamic State. And they have their own reasons both to do that as well as to not do that. The temptation, and it's a great temptation, And at times, I'll admit, I would fall for it. I listen to a lot of talk radio. If I've heard one caller, I've heard many. We should bomb them to the Stone Ages. We should have the rubble bounce. Sounds good. And I'm for, at least for a while, doing a lot more sorties or missions. It's a you hear the number 9,000. What you don't hear is over what length of period. Now, if it were 9,000 in a week, okay. But it's not. It's over several years, going on two. And even if it were a lot more, it's not going to ultimately destroy them. You need to go literally block by block, building by building, room by room. And that means going in and killing them. That's what's required. These are fanatics. They're not going to surrender. They don't want to surrender. They want to kill you, and they're willing to die. Most of them, not all of them, a good number of them, a minority, are suicidal. That's what we're up against. You can call them any name you want, but and it's religious-based. That's the thing that I need to emphasize. Don't believe what the propaganda, the mainstream media, and President Obama, that this has nothing to do with Islam. Mr. President, it has everything to do with Islam. That is the problem. I wish it were true that it had nothing to do with Islam. The point is, it does. And you're misleading, if not directly lying to the American people by not saying that. This is the problem with political correctness. A sheer unwillingness to call it what it is, to deal with reality. That's what we're talking about. Instead, what's political correctness all about? It's shutting up people that disagree with you. That's why the media, as well as our president, won't call this what it is. And the American people have had enough of this. And if you bring it up, you're immediately called an Islamophobe or a racist. No, I think a better way to say it is I'm a realist. I'm a rationalist. I deal with facts. I deal with reality. I don't deal with your illusions or delusions, your warped beliefs. And the first step is you need to identify and know and understand your enemy. We have people in the government that understand this. But what's lacking is leadership. And I've given up on this president. His entire 8 years is a disaster domestically in terms of leaving a stagnating economy. They still want to blame everything on Bush. Mr. President, you're going on 8 years. When are you going to step up to the plate and take responsibility for failed economic policies and failed foreign policies? I know the answer. You're never going to do it. You think everything's hunky-dory. Well, the American people disagree with you. And we're going to have an election, and I don't think you're going to have your legacy third term with Hillary Clinton, because the American people are fed up with this. They want a leader that spells out a strategy and gets our allies involved. And that means the Arabs, the Turks, the Kurds, the Sunnis in the Middle East, to destroy this cancer. The Islamic State really doesn't take prisoners, and neither should we. And nothing should be off the table. There I agree with Donald Trump. Nothing. And none of this nonsense, that is not American values. Excuse me. We're at war. We're in a total war with the Islamic State. And I will say this, we're also at war with the Islamic Republic of Iran that our president and secretary of state have capitulated to. That so-called deal should be torn up and thrown in the trash, and sanctions reimposed and make them worse. We're dealing with really two groups of religious fanatics. One is Sunni and the other is Shia. And the more dangerous of the two is the Iranians. We have a bunch of appeasers, really lying lunatic leftists is what they are. They lie to the American people, because if they told the truth of what they're really about, they wouldn't get elected dog catcher. And finally, slowly but surely, the American people is waking up. And that's why I don't think Hillary Clinton is going to be elected president, even with a pardon from Barack Obama regarding her handling of classified information. I'm looking at the time, and I have a few more minutes. Let me connect this with yesterday's show, which was partly about what happened in Brussels, but also taking it to politics again, or linking it to politics. There are only two people in the that are running for president that have a chance of getting the Republican nomination, together with the support of the people that vote for him, and that is Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. My opinion is Donald Trump will get the nomination and will get elected. But to do that, Donald Trump realizes if he can't unite the party, getting the nomination will only guarantee his loss come November. Donald Trump wants to win. He wants to be the next president of the United States, and the only way that is going to happen is he has to reach out not to the Democrats, not crossing the aisle like Chris Christie or Jeb Bush or John Kasich would do. I don't want any president to reach out to the Democratic Party candidates because I oppose nearly everything they stand for. But what Donald Trump has to do is reach out to the conservatives in this country, to libertarians in this country, to those that supported the Tea Party movement. And the one single person I can think of that embodies at least two, some would argue three, of those groups is Ted Cruz. He was and became the senator from Texas because of the Tea Party, and he understands that. He got elected by conservatives and libertarians in Texas. He understands that. And deep in his bones, he knows what a representative republic is and the importance of the United States Constitution. And I know we've had an exchange of words. Let's just say words have been exchanged between Cruz and Trump. Some of them may be justified, some maybe not. That's not the point. Mr. Trump, if you truly want to win and not be a loser come November, you have to reach out to Ted Cruz. And you should make him your vice president, and you should use as much persuasion salesmanship to do that. And Ted Cruz, you've run a good race, and who knows, you still might pull it out, but I seriously doubt it. You're simply too far behind for a lot of reasons. Mainly because, as what happens often, there were at least one or two or three, depending on who you want to count, that were also going after the same voter base, conservatives, libertarians, people that support a constitutional republic. And because of that, you have fallen significantly behind Donald Trump. And because of that, I don't see you catching up. I think a Trump-Cruz ticket would win. And I think you both have strengths that the other doesn't have. You complement each other well. And you also have support where the other does not have support. And that's vice versa. In other words, Mr. Trump, Mr. Cruz, I think you're the dream team. And one of the issues you're going to have to deal with is the Middle East, and what do we do about both the Islamic State and the Islamic Republic of Iran? While there's some foreign policy differences, my only reservation about Cruz, I think he's more interventionist than I am. I think it's about time that we tell, inform, if you will, our allies, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and other states. It's time to put up or shut up. In other words, the armies need to start marching into Syria and destroy the Islamic State. And that requires Sunnis to do it, not Catholics, Baptists, Methodists from various states in the United States. It's not our religious war. It's not our neighborhood. And it's certainly not our ethnic group. That's leadership. That's negotiation. That requires a brilliant strategy. It requires brilliant execution of that strategy. And it's not going to come from either President Obama or the failed Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. She has shown repeatedly her incompetence. And she's flaunt, and for her own convenience, compromised the national security of this country in her handling of classified documents. She is an utter, complete embarrassment. She does not deserve to be the first woman president of this country. She would be a disaster if elected, and the majority of the American people don't trust her, and that has come out in poll after poll after poll. More than two-thirds simply don't trust her, they don't believe her, And that is not going to get her elected president. If anything, that is going to defeat her. Her own character and lack of integrity and honesty is the reason she's going to be defeated. But it's going to take a united Republican Party to do that. And that means Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have to come together and form a united ticket and get their supporters united behind that ticket. Many of them simply have trouble doing it, and they forget. My concern is this. I want a constitutional representative republic, and we need to defend that republic from our enemies, and there are many abroad, and that requires leadership. It requires a strong commander-in-chief. It also requires a strong vice president for the simple reason no human being can handle all the responsibilities, the duties of the president. I think a Trump-Cruz ticket would win and win in a landslide. And I hope in the near future Trump and Cruz come together. The worst thing that could happen, absolutely the worst thing, and I'm not a Republican, by the way. I need to emphasize that. For many years I was, but I've given up on the Republican Party for the simple reason they're big government parties. But I recognize the primary function of government is the defense of this country. And our country and our citizens are under attack. The Islamic State attacked U.S. citizens. We were targeted Tuesday. Where did two of those bombs go off? The counters of United Airlines, Delta, and American Airlines on one side, and on the other side, Starbucks. And people were checking in for flights going to the United States. The American people, our citizens abroad, were attacked by the Islamic State Tuesday, and we have a president dancing the tango in Argentina and watching baseball with the Castros, a terrorist regime. Do you expect leadership from Obama? Give me a break. He's a loser. He's a lying, lunatic leftist, and he's not going to change his colors, and he's not going to lead. He's just as pathetic as Hillary Clinton is, and just as incompetent, both in the foreign policy area and domestic policy. His legacy will be a stagnating economy. Instead of a booming economy, a stagnating economy, and it could even be in recession by the time he leaves. That's not leadership. That's a narcissist that can't face reality, that he's a phony and the people have caught on to him. That's why the American people are in revolt. I heard, I think, a joke from Biden. I don't think he meant it as a joke. He was speaking, I believe, at the law school at Georgetown and saying, well, the Republicans say there's a Biden rule. Well, you're pulling that out of context. You really should have a hearing and vote on President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court. Otherwise, we'll have a constitutional crisis. Mr. Biden and Mr. President, you have caused a constitutional crisis by your refusal to enforce immigration law. I remind you, the American people believe in the rule of law, and you're not enforcing the laws. You betrayed your oath of office. You're not enforcing immigration law, and as a result, during your 7-8 years, every year, 3 to 5 million illegal aliens have been invading this country, and they're still doing it. And now many of them are going to be terrorists. You're a walking constitutional crisis. The problem is we don't have any leadership in the Republican Party. You should have been impeached and convicted. And if they don't have the stomach for that remedy, they should have cut off the funds. That's why the American people are in open revolt and supporting both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. It's a vote of no confidence. Which means you won't get your third term, Mr. President. Enjoy your junket, your last junket, and tango in Argentina. I'm counting the days, and I hope our country makes it. I hope you enjoy playing golf, because that's time better spent, because the leadership from you and your administration in terms of having a booming economy where our college and high school students, when they graduate, have 3, 5, 10 offers, where now they're lucky if they can find one job, and now part-time job at that. And you've totally messed up health care in this country. So we need new leadership. It's a lost cause if you're hoping that suddenly Barack Obama is going to change and suddenly he's going to be a leader, Mr. Leader. It's not going to happen. And if you think it's going to come from Hillary Clinton, that'll be worse. It's hard to imagine how, but I think it would be worse. She's already said in the immigration area she would go further than Barack Obama. That's hard to do, but that's what she said. What amazes me is the blacks in this country still supporting the Democratic Party. When are you going to wake up? The Democratic Party was the party of slavery, was the party of Jim Crow laws, was the party of the Ku Klux Klan and segregation, and they've kept you on the plantation by giving you stuff, and you fall for it. You settle for crumbs by giving your vote over and over again to the Democratic Party. I can remember when most blacks were not Democrats. They knew who freed the slaves, and it wasn't the Democratic Party, it was the Republican Party. I'm talking Abraham Lincoln and the Republicans in that Congress. And it was Republican congressmen and senator that gave you the Civil Rights Act that Johnson pushed. Most of his friends were against it, were avid segregationists. Yet today, 85, 90, 95% of the black vote votes Democrats. When are the black citizens of this country going to wake up to the fact that the Democratic Party takes your vote as a given? They're ignoring you. They're more concerned about illegal aliens than they are concerned about American citizens, American workers, and that includes blacks and Hispanics. What's promising is Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, I think, might for the first time make some inroads and wake up people that have been taken advantage of, namely American citizens that are blacks and Hispanics. The problem with both political parties, the establishment or leadership of both political parties, is they believe that the answer to Americans' problems is to throw open the borders of our country, to let as many people that can get here either illegally or legally, and let them, once they're here, become citizens. That was tried in Europe. And today, Europe is the target of terrorist attacks. And Europe, within the next 40 years, will largely be Islamic because they didn't protect their borders. They didn't protect their people. They did not protect their sovereignty. I don't want the United States of America to become Europe. I don't want to see terrorist attacks in city after city from whatever source. So it's about time that not only the American people wake up, but stand up and support the candidacy of a Trump-Cruz ticket. Keep in mind, I'm not a Republican. I really have reservations about Donald Trump. I'm just saying you only have two choices, Democrat, Republican, Clinton, or Trump. And the best of that is a Trump-Cruz ticket. If it's not that, what's happening in Europe will come to the United States, and it's going to get a lot worse for the United States. And I will say this, it's going to be a lot worse for the rest of the world. The United States needs to clean up its fiscal mess. It needs to support fiscal responsibility with balanced budgets and pay down the debt and ultimately pay down unfunded liabilities. There's a lot of things that need to be done. First and foremost is to control out-of-control government spending. And you're going to need leadership to do that. You're going to need someone that will bang heads, pound the table, and tell the Republicans in the House and the Senate, you have 2 years to balance the budget, and if you can't cut it, we'll find somebody else. That's the problem with the establishment of both the Democrat and Republican Party. They've gotten used to kicking the can down the road, thinking they can get away with it forever as our country, as our republic becomes a huge, unpopular empire, and all empires, why they rise, they ultimately fail and fall. And we're quickly becoming that. So we need to solve a big deficit, a huge deficit that we have right now in Washington, D.C., and that's leadership. A lack of leadership. Oh, there are people that have titles, but they're more concerned about their political career and getting reelected than doing what's right for the American people and defending this country against its enemies and providing for the general welfare not the special interest, the general welfare of this country should come first. Not growing the size, scope, and role of the federal government, expanding bureaucracies, and not caring 1 cent about the consequences for future generations and what that means for their children and grandchildren. I'm looking at the time. I'm debating whether to continue because they're going to tell me to wrap it up. So I don't want to get started and have to stop. What I'm calling for right now, let me back up. Talk is cheap. Ideas are a dime a dozen. You need action. Although I'm an individual or an individualist, it's going to take the action of many, many individuals or the collective action of many individuals that truly believe in a representative republic based on the United States Constitution. And I mean believe in it and will stand up for it, will march for it, will vote for it, but most importantly, organize. We need a new political party. Right now, short term, there are not many choices. There are only two, Democrat, Republican. That's why I left. I didn't see the leadership anymore in the Republican Party. I didn't see the concern for fiscal responsibility. What I did see is government intervention both domestically as well as abroad. And I'm not trying to second guess George W. Bush, but I don't think the war in Iraq, in retrospect, was a good idea. And I think we're seeing why right now. It's very tempting for any new president, and I mean very tempting, to either use military force or covert force using the Central Intelligence Agency. That leads and has led to intervention, both covertly and overtly, in country after country after country. It's about time that the United States of America mind its own business and stop interfering with country after country, acting like policemen of the world. Who appointed us cop of the world? Nobody did. And the people of the world resent it. We need to get back to fundamental principles and a fundamental focus on the peace and prosperity of the American people. We need to emulate George Washington. What we don't need to do is march in to country after country trying to oppose our values, our attitudes, beliefs on cultures where we don't even know the language. We can't speak, write, or understand the language. We don't know the culture. We don't know the religion. And try to act like an honest broker and a cop. Doesn't work. It's a failure. Even if we can do it the best we can, we're not very good at it. That's why I'm not for intervening in country after country after country, because it invariably not only costs a lot of money and a lot of blood and the blood of your sons and daughters, but you quickly lose any friends that you have. And that requires a leader that can not only say yes, but also can say no. And if we have a problem such as the Islamic State or the Islamic Republic of Iran, who has the most interest in dealing with those two problems? It's the people in the area, in the Middle East, Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, just to mention a few. Forget about the United Nations. It was a good idea that has simply not worked. It's long past that we should get the United States out of the United Nations and the United Nations out of the United States. Who would want to join that club of tyrants and dictators? Upwards of 190. They're not all tyrants and dictators, but the majority of them are. Get them out of New York City. Let them go wherever they want to. It has been a failure and disaster. Turn it into an apartment complex, or better yet, blow the whole thing up and start again. Have they stopped genocide? No. Have they stopped war? No. And if the United States had not been funding it, it would have failed long ago. That's a mess that a new administration, we should pull out. Not a cent for the United Nations. And encourage them to move as soon as possible, preferably now. Oh, there are plenty of countries, many in Europe, that'll take them. But that's one club or one organization I think the United States should pull out of. They have not been a force for peace. They've been a disaster and an embarrassment, and they've been corrupted. And the American people, given our financial system, our financial situation, excuse me, should not be sending any money to them anymore. If they have been doing their job, many of these problems should not have occurred, but they did. I wanted to add that because it's typically not even discussed anymore. I think the United States, its involvement in the United Nations should end and should end soon. That's going to take a new president because the left in this country, they're all for one world government. That's ultimately what they're about. And that's why many of them support the one world government of the caliphate. You see, they can see some allies in the radical Islamic jihadists of the world. What they're about is world domination under a caliphate with Sharia law. That's something our left in this country likes. Our socialist left, our liberal or progressive left, the fact that it has failed and failed often kind of eludes them. They think the answer to all problems or most problems is more government departments, agencies, programs, more money. And then they wonder why the economy is not growing, why jobs are not being created. And don't tell me about government statistics. They're very misleading. So I hope you enjoy your Easter vacation, and hopefully in the next 60, 90 days, we will have some resolution or closure to who will be the Republican nominee and what will be the ticket. I hope it's a Trump-Cruz ticket, but I don't know. I don't have any magic crystal ball. There's still a possibility that Cruz could win the nomination if he gets to the magic number of 1,237. But I've looked at the numbers. I've analyzed the numbers. I don't think either Trump or Cruz can do that. The only one that could come close is Trump. But even if he comes close or even gets it, he needs to unite the party. And he's not my ideal perfect candidate. There is no person out there. I have reservations about all the candidates that I put on my short list, and it was a short list of four people that I could vote for. So if you're looking for Mr. Perfect, you're never going to find him, and you're never going to find him for those of the candidate for the president. But that is another show. You're going to have to do the best you can with the choices you have, and the worst thing that could happen is that conservatives, libertarians, and so-called Republicans vote for Hillary Clinton. If that's what you're about, I don't think you're a conservative. I don't think you're a libertarian. I know you're not a Republican. I think you're a phony. I think you're a liberal and or progressive masquerading or in the closet, because that woman will destroy this country. And that's exactly what Barack Obama wants to happen, and that's why he's supporting her, and he will pardon her. So we'll see what happens in the next 90 days. And with that, on a more positive note, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com.